You're doing what now?
Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Greetings, found sheep of the house of Israel and silver feet of Israel's race. Ye who did hear Christ call, greetings again. This is the 17th of May, 2018. It is what? Oh, 7:15 p.m. It is actually a little bit cooler day, so like spring should be. It got around 83 degrees. It had gotten up to 88, 89, something like that, to where we had about 3 days of spring. It was cold up until the last week of April. Then we had maybe about 3 days of spring, and then we had just hot, hot temperatures in May, where it was close to 90 degrees, and now it's turned that back down to 80 degrees. So since we got our spring back here. How's that here in Southwest
Missouri? Yeah.
It rained some. I got my lawnmower, push lawnmower fixed. Last night I went and mixed some gasoline up and, mixed up some gasoline. And I had the, mixed some two-cycle engine oil. So I had my little two-cycle tiller and I went ahead and planted some early girl hybrid tomatoes that I'd gotten for, $2 or something like that. And I planted some bell peppers, more likely also hybrids. So, any case here, well, you have Jeff saying he's a tard here. Westford probably is not with us here. He's probably on the Lumbee Melanson Indian Reservation where he lives. Or maybe
yep.
He's messing with with the skank with big pits here. Sunday is Pentecost, May 20th.
Yep.
For that show, we'll do a special Pentecost service here. Pentecost represents the founding of the New Testament Church of Christ. After 49 days plus one after he was crucified, after Passover comes the essentially Pentecost, which is essentially the first fruits here, and Christ was, of course, the first fruit. But his New Testament church was also the first priest. So that's what Pentecost represents, at least in Christian, identity Christian circles here. So yes, we do keep the holy days. We do keep the law. We do keep the red letter, the red letters here.
That's the problem, Martin. Is that they don't, the Judeo-Christian churches, they do not teach any of the laws, and they teach they all come from Adam, and of course, mongrelization, adulteration of the blood is a violation of one of Yahweh's laws. But the problem in mainstream identity is they haven't emphasized that. And it's just been more of a white power than it has about being a son or daughter of Yahweh and being obedient to Yahweh, a true repentance,
Well, what it is, it's about Mamzers and Jews wanting to pretend to be white. So as a result, their pretense, it's not about them obeying Yahweh's laws, because if they obeyed Yahweh's laws, they wouldn't be bothering us. You know what I mean? Instead, they're among us pretending to be of us, and they're not. They're not. They have no business being among us. So as a result, they act up and they do all sorts of stupid crap. And they like pretending to be something they're not. You know what I mean? So.
Yep, I agree.
Anyway.
All right. Well, I think.
So
what? Okay, are you still got court cases going on, or they pretty much died out?
No. What happens is that Tuesday night they held a special meeting, and guess what? This Kansas City Jew lawyer named Brian Todd Goldstein, in real life he looks like a He's about 5'7", greasy looking Jew, driving an expensive car.
Okay.
And they were in secret meeting from 5:01 p.m. to 6:20 p.m. And I went down to eat, and essentially one of the people who worked there told me, but they don't care. They don't care. They said, you know, Martin isn't hurting us. We won't have to pay anything. We won't have to pay anything for breaking the law, breaking the Missouri Sunshine Act. No, 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 no. The city of the town of Granby will be punished here because of our misconduct. Well, I don't really want that to happen. I will make a motion. I will make a motion that, guess what? Why should the insurance company pay? Why should the insurance company pay anything other than, why should the insurance company pay for the Jew lawyer? I mean, essentially, their crooked lawyer, he's the one that got them into this mess by telling them they could do whatever the hell they wanted to. Why not go ahead and fire the city clerk, the city collector, the one who they got to do all sorts of crooked shit, including not obey the law, but also to apply that thing against me, which was the corrupt thing against me, which was essentially the refusal to just simply make a 10-cent copy of a public notice. You know what I mean? Look, you lawyer. You know, I'm the one obeying the law. The law says I can file this lawsuit. Okay, it doesn't say, is that how dare you file a lawsuit? Oh, no, we are so harmed here, and we ought to change it by going ahead and doing away with the First Amendment by filing these bogus ex parte protection orders, which are supposed to be only used for domestic violence. I don't think these domestic ex parte orders should be given out in the first place. I don't think they should be given out ex parte unless it's a real emergency. And then I think that any crooked judge that gives it out here, the person against, like the boyfriend or the husband, should have the right to have a jury trial to determine whether or not this is legitimate. If it turns out the woman is lying, she is punished. She is punished for lying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, rather than give that out just like popcorn and make it, a crooked judge, I think I'll be skinned out. I think a crooked lawyer, I'll be skinned out. I think a crooked cop, I'll be skinned out.
Mark, if we had any justice in this country, if we had any white man, rule in this country, we never would have allowed all these other races in here. We shouldn't have allowed the Jews in here. I mean, Benjamin Franklin knew he shouldn't do it, but he didn't press the issue. I mean, he made the statement that we really shouldn't let them in here. But, of course, all the founding fathers were Freemasons, and they weren't going to rock the boat. But it's like this country is just Zog Babylon. It's full of Jews and Mamzers, and it's the Wiggers that are left, the majority of Wiggers in this country, the majority of the white race, are brainwashed and brain dead. They're dumbed down. And most of them are going along with most of them are in Satan's back pocket. Because if you're not going to enforce Yahweh's laws in the Bible, how are you going to have a decent white society, Martin?
You're not. They don't want a. They certainly don't want a decent society, and they certainly don't want a white society. They want, Satan's kids want to destroy white society.
I mean, if you look at it, there's so much hatred against the white male, mainly the white race, but there's a lot of white women that have been turned against the white men too. But there's so much hatred worldwide in the United States against, and especially conservative whites. If you're a liberal white, if you're a race mixing white, then you're going to be popular.
Well, you're going to be used. I don't know if you're going to be popular.
Well, he'll be popular with Satan and his kids until they get time to, you know, until you've outlived your usefulness, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Roxy says she has to use the bathroom. You want to go ahead and take over for the next 5 minutes here?
Yeah, that's fine. I'll go. Listen, what we'll do is let me do one chapter, and you can listen in, and when you get back, you can commentate. We're doing the book of the Courses of the Heavenly Luminaries, and I've already posted in the chat room, and that would be...
Could you post it again?
Yeah. What is the L in Roman? It's 50, that's 67. We're on 72.
Okay.
72, chapter 72. I'll post it again. Chapter 72.
Okay, I see the book of Enoch here. So you're going to go to 72?
Yeah, we're 72.
The book of the Courses of the Heavenly Luminaries. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Here, and I'll go ahead and do 72, and you can go take care of Roxy.
You bet.
Okay, folks, here we go. This is the book of the Courses of the Heavenly Luminaries. And this first deals with the sun, which is the main star in the Milky Way galaxy, or at least the star that our planet revolves around. Okay, chapter 72, verse 1. The book of the courses of the luminaries of the heaven, the relations of each according to their classes, their dominion, and their seasons, according to their names and places of origin, and according to their months, which Uriel, the holy angel who was with me, this would be Uriel talking to Enoch, who is their guide, showed me, and he showed me all their laws exactly as they are, and how it is with regard to all the years of the world and unto eternity till the new creation is accomplished, which dureth till eternity. So this is saying that basically you've got two times here. You've got the time till the judgment and the whole old heaven and old earth is destroyed, and then there'll be a new eternity for the new creations. Okay, so you got two time periods. Verse 2, and this is the first law of the luminaries. The luminary of the sun has its rising in the eastern portals of the heaven and its setting in the western portals of the heaven. We know from the Bible that we read that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, but we're also that's just from the vantage point of the earth. When you talk about the portals are up in heaven, the openings that Enoch has talked about before when he was taken up and witnessed all this. Verse 3, and I saw six portals in which the sun rises and six portals in which the sun sets, and the moon rises and sets in these portals. So the moon is basically following a delayed following. It's following the same path as the sun through these 12 different portals. Okay, six in the east and six in the west. And the moon is following the same path as the sun. And the leaders of the stars and those whom they lead, six in the east and six in the west, and all following each other in accurately corresponding order. So this is talking about the angels that are over the luminaries, and Uriel was the chief over that. And then it's talking about the leaders of those stars. And all following each other in accurately corresponding order. Also, many windows to the right and left of these portals. And first there goeth forth the great luminary named the sun, and his circumference is like the circumference of the heaven, and he is quite filled with illuminating and heating fire. So the sun, it says, is very bright with it for illumination and very hot. Verse 5, the chariot on which he ascends, the wind drives, and the sun goes down from the heaven and returns through the north in order to reach the east, and is so guided that he comes to the appropriate portal and shines in the face of the heaven. Verse 6, in this way he rises in the first month in the great portal, which is the fourth of the six portals in the east. And in that fourth portal from which the sun rises in the first month are 12 window openings from which proceed a flame when they are opened in their season. When the sun rises in the heaven, he comes forth through the fourth portal 30 mornings in succession. So that's talking about 30 days in a month, 30 mornings in succession, and sets accurately in the fourth portal on the west of the heaven. And during this period, the day becomes daily longer and the night nightly shorter to the 13th or to the 30th morning. Well, that'd be talking about you got a full moon, you go from new moon to new moon. Excuse me. On that day, the day is longer than the night by a ninth part, and the day amounts exactly to 10 parts and the night to 8 parts. And the sun rises from that fourth portal and sets in the fourth and returns to the fifth portal of the east 30 mornings and rises from it and sets in the fifth portal. And then the day becomes longer by 2 parts and amounts to 11 parts. And the night becomes shorter and amounts to 7 parts. And it returns to the east and enters into the sixth portal and rises and sets in the sixth portal 1 in 30 mornings on account of its sign. On that day, the day becomes longer than the night, and the day becomes double the night, and the day becomes 12 parts. And the night is shortened and becomes 6 parts. And the sun mounts up to make the day shorter and the night longer, and the sun returns to the east and enters into the sixth portal and rises from it and sets 30 mornings. And when 30 mornings are accomplished, the day decreases by exactly 1 part and becomes 11 parts, and the night 7. And the sun goes forth from the sixth portal in the west and goes to the east and rises in the fifth portal for 30 mornings and sets in the west and again in the fifth western portal. On that day, the day decreases by 2 parts and amounts to 10 parts and the night to 8 parts. And the sun goeth forth from that fifth portal and sets in the fifth portal of the west and rises in the fourth portal for 1 in 30 mornings on account of its signs, and sets in the west. On that day, the day is equalized with the night and becomes of equal length. And the night amounts to 9 parts, and the day to 9 parts. And the sun rises from that portal and sets in the west, and returns to the east and rises 30 mornings in the third portal and sets in the west in the third portal. And on that day, the night becomes longer than the day and night becomes longer than night and day shorter than day till the 30th morning. And the night amounts exactly to 10 parts and the day to 8 parts. And the sun rises from that third portal and sets in the third portal in the west and returns to the east. And for 30 mornings, rises in the second portal in the east and in like manner sets in second portal in the west of the heaven. And on that day, the night amounts to 11 parts and the day to 7 parts. And the sun rises on that day from the second portal and sets in the west in the second portal and returns to the east into the first portal for 1 in 30 mornings and sets in the first portal in the west of the heaven. And on that day, the night becomes longer and amounts to the double of the day. And the night amounts exactly to 12 parts and the day to 6. and the sun has therewith traversed the divisions of his orbit and turns again on those divisions of his orbit and enters that portal 30 mornings and sets also in the west opposite to it. And on that night has the night increased in length by a ninth part. And the night has become 11 parts and the day 7 parts. And the sun has returned and entered into the second portal in the east and returns on those his divisions of his orbit for 30 mornings, rising and setting. And on that day the night decreases in length and the night amounts to 10 parts and the day to 8. And on that day the sun rises from that portal and sets in the west and returns to the east and rises in the third portal for 1 and 30 mornings and sets in the west of the heaven. On that day the night decreases and amounts to 9 parts and the day to 9 parts. And the night is equal to the day, and the year is exactly as to its day, 364. Well, this is saying that a year is supposed to be 364 days, but we know the modern calendar, we have 365, but then every 4 years, we have a leap year. And the length of the day and of the night and the shortness of the day and of the night arise through the course of the sun. These distinctions are made. Literally, they are separated. So it comes that its course becomes daily longer and its course nightly shorter. And this is the law and the course of the sun and his return as often as he returns 60 times. And rises, i.e. the great luminary, which is named the sun forever and ever. And that which thus rises is the great luminary, and is so named according to its appearance, according as Yahweh commanded. As he rises, so he sets and decreases not and rests not, but runs day and night. And his light is sevenfold brighter than that of the moon. But as regards to size, they are both equal. Well, I never knew that. I did not know that the size of the moon, which is not all that big, is supposed to be the size of the sun. Maybe it's the sight of the moon, because the sun is a lot further from the earth than the moon. I think the diameter and the circumference of the sun would be way larger than the moon. So I think when it says that its sizes are equal, it's because the sun is so much further distance that when you look in the sky, they appear to be equal. That's why you can have a solar or lunar eclipse. They can block each other out. Martin, I hear you rumbling in the background. We just completed the first chapter. It's rather lengthy.
Yeah, this was rather more like an astronomy treatise now, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, the modern calendar we're on is the Roman Gregorian calendar of 365 days, but according to Uriel in the Book of Enoch, 364, we shouldn't be having these every 4 year leap years. We should just have, but I mean it, regardless, we've only been on the Gregorian calendar for what, 2,000 years, 1,900 years?
No. The Julian calendar was set by Julius Caesar.
Okay.
He was dictator of Rome and Pontifex
okay.
Maximus. And what the Roman, the Roman quote week was actually, I think, 8 days or 9 days, when they'd
yeah.
have ides, and they'd have noons, and they'd have market days, and they'd have holidays. And so what happens is that in many cases they get late, they get a week or two late, and then a new Pontifex Maximus would set, well, essentially they knew which days would be essentially the equinoxes, which would be in March and September, and then your longest days and shortest days, which would be in June and in December. So what Julius Caesar did was he said, okay, it's 300, he went ahead and add a couple weeks here, get things right in with essentially the sun gets to where it's on its equal, it's on its equal time here. I mean, usually the March equinox, okay, what do they call it? The solstice. Essentially, in summer it's called summer solstice and the winter solstice. You know what I mean? The longest day and the shortest day of the year. Solstices and equinoxes. And in reality, it's 364 1/4, quarter of a day. So that's why they have, every 4 years, they have a leap year of 365 days. And it's added to the shortest month here. Instead of having 28 days, they'll have 29 days every leap year. Well, what they did is that even so, they got about as late as, about 11 or 12, about 2 weeks here, the last country, European country, to go with the new, Gregorian, is that every year divisible by 400 does not have a leap year. So essentially, if it's divided by 400, like 2,000, you do not have a leap year in 2,000, because it's divided by 400. So there's still a little bit of a difference. But by the time 1917 came along here, you had a October Revolution, which was in November in the old style. And George Washington, in the English period, the change between old style Julian and new style Gregorian took place during George Washington's young manhood.
Yeah,
it was was off by about 11 days here. By the time he came to 1917, it was about off by 2 weeks here. So
hold on. So George Washington was born on what day and month?
I don't know, but he was born in old style. That's why he kept the April Fools, because when they changed it, they said April Fools because they changed the calendar quite a bit here. So then, after the end of March here, so essentially they added about 11 days or so. And so, okay, so you're an April Fool because some of these people, followed the old calendar, and it was, going in with the new calendar. I mean, that's what I heard anyway. So anyway, this is quite a treatise. Normally is that the year is 364, but it's really 364 1/4. But then you had a leap year, but in years divisible by 400, like 400, 800, 1200, 1600, 2000, you did not have a leap year in 2000. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's how they go ahead and keep it. That's how they keep it today. Well, what happens is that when I was a kid, spring started on the 21st. On the 21st of March. Especially now, what happens is since we just got off of 2000, having no leap year, now it's what? They say spring starts sometime, late, at night at, March 20th anymore, nowadays here. So they've gone ahead and moved it up because you only have, so many fractions of a 400th, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So by the time it gets to 2,200 or so, I guess you'll end up having spring start on March 21st again, instead of March 20th. So anyway, that's that's a number, you know, that's a number of things. But no, this was a quite, this was a quite detailed. When Enoch lived, this was what, around, 2950 or something like that here when Enoch lived.
Yeah, Enoch.
I mean, pretty well. You had about not quite a thousand. You had not quite a thousand years or so when Enoch was, when essentially Enoch was alive. So it was around, here's Enoch around what, 3000 BC when they have bronze, when they have bronze, and when they first start having writing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So here is, I mean, if there's anything really truth to writing from Yahweh, it's the Book of Enoch. So here he is, way early, making astronomical, essentially astronomical decisions here, to where, hey, he knows how long the days are after these particular, what, six cycles or so?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so he realizes that, hey, sometimes the sun is by a measure of, 11-7, longer than the night, and sometimes the night is by, 11-7ths or 10-7ths to, or 10-whatever to, to the night here. So he really covered quite a bit. This is a quite a learned, astronomical treatise. So, why don't we go on?
A lot of people in identity believe in setting the calendar or keeping the feast days by the moon and not the sun. And like Arnold, those people that Buddy used to hook up with, they believe that, not every month is going to be 30 days, and that you got like 29 and a half days, but not according to this.
Most months, what they did is they had 13 months of 28 days. They had months of 28 days, and then if they had a problem, they would add a few.
I'm just saying the modern calendars are messed up because Uriel tells Enoch right here that all the 12 months, all of them are going to be 30 days. So somebody's wrong here.
Well, you have some days which are 31, and then you have February, which is only 28. What happens? Most months were 28, but what they would do usually in spring, in March, when they knew that the day was exactly as long as the night, what they would do is on that month they would go ahead and add. They go ahead and see, okay, it's the 21st here, but no, we're not quite right. We got it messed up by a day or so here. What happens is then they go ahead and add a day or so at the end of March here, and then you have, that's where you get, the reason you have April Fools is that usually that's when they added or subtracted the days, was the tail end of March. And what's the next month after March? Well, it's April. So that's why you got the April Fool.
Yeah, but what I think, Mark? Okay, look. It says right here, the year is 364 days. If you got 30 days times 12 months, that's 360. So you get the other 4 days by, I would assume, the 4 days when you have either a lot of darkness or extended period of darkness.
No. What they would do, the reason you have April Fools is that usually most Western calendars just simply added or subtracted the days necessary.
Okay.
At the end of March, what I mean? So that's why you have the April Fool, because thankfully some people wouldn't get the word, and 28 days. And they forget that easily you had that 4 days or 4 1/4 days. You know what I mean? So usually what happens is you end up having, 13 months or 28 days. But, I guess you could do that here. If you're going to go with, 12 time, but 28, 29, 30, 31, you end up having, instead of just a calendar with 12 months, with 13 months, you have 28 days, and at the end of March, you would end up having, 30 days, half September, April, June, and November, and the rest of 31 is up for February. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
you know, I mean, if you're only going to have 12 months, and you have to deal with, what, 20, another 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, and there's 32 days, you know, 32 and a quarter days.
All right, well, let's put this way.
If the white race was obeying Yahweh's laws and they didn't follow after Babylon, then we would be on the right calendar, right?
Well, generally, your time in sort of 60 seconds into a minute is based upon the Babylonian system. You know,
okay.
I mean, back then they didn't have railroads. They didn't have schedules. They didn't have anything here. I mean, you know, shoot. If you're running according to how fast a person can walk, or at the most here, how fast a horse can gallop, or, you know, on a, you know, not on a paved road, then really, does it matter, you know, what exact minute it is, after it doesn't anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, in any case, this is quite a astronomical treatise. You know, the moon in many cases looks bigger than the sun because I can't stand to look at the sun very long. You know what I mean? Whereas you can, you know, especially since the moon gets reflected light from the sun, I mean, it's sometimes, you have a big, huge moon sometimes. And way back until recently, when you have smog, you used to be able to see the, quote, morning star, which was usually the planet Venus, go ahead and rise. And most people used to be able before, especially the internal combustion engine creating a bunch of smog, they had the ability to go ahead and, you know, see the morning star. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Clearly. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Nowadays, I mean, even if you're in, say, South Dakota, like I was, you know, for a week here, what happens is that you have the towns of Pierre and Fort Pierre, which are 34 miles away. And they're in a basin here where the Missouri, you know, takes about a 48 or 49 or 50 degree angle. You know, I mean, goes south and then heads east here. And they're in a basin, and that basin acts like a flashlight parabola, you know, and essentially takes that light pollution, you know, sort of like a, well, flashlight parabola, you know what I mean? What I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
You have a, you know, essentially a bowl-like depression here, and it focuses it and it brings up to the clouds. If you really want to see, you go ahead and, like what I used to do was driving across, say, New Mexico from Flagstaff east toward El Paso, what you would see, especially at the higher elevations here, you would see no light pollution at all. You would see literally the falling stars go across all the time, and that's when the light, you know, the night is really clear and you can see everything. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, out west when you don't on the prairie or you know, when you're outside of the major cities, there's not a lot of light around you. You can get a better vision of the star, a better view of the stars up in the sky.
Well, yeah. This was especially the case where you have absolutely no light pollution, especially when you are in the mountains here, which has a whole bunch of pine trees and stuff like that, to where it is higher up, and it keeps the snow, it keeps the snowpack, it keeps a number of things here.
Sure.
So then it's really, really, really clear here. But anyway, why don't you go on then? Okay.
Okay, folks. We're going to go to the next.
It's a little shorter. 73.
And you might name the verse before you do it here. I was a little bit lost here because...
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. 73, okay. Chapter 73, verse 1. And after this, I saw another law. After this law, I saw another law dealing with the smaller luminary, which is named the moon, and her circumference. Notice how it calls the sun a he and the moon a she. We also know from the lost books, we have compared the sun to Yahweh, the Father, and they've compared the moon to the laws of Yahweh, the Word. Okay.
So, which the moon, and her circumference is like the circumference of the heaven, and her chariot in which she rides is driven by the wind, and light is given to her in definite measure, and her rising and setting change every month, and her days are like the days of the sun, and when her light is uniform or full, it amounts to the seventh part of the light of the sun, and thus she rises, and her first phase in the east comes forth on the 30th morning, and on that day she becomes a visible, that's verse 4 we're reading, she becomes a visible and constitutes for you the first phase of the moon on the 30th day together with the sun and the portal where the sun rises. Okay, folks, it's talking about how the moon is a seventh part of the light of the sun in verse 3, but real quick here, the moon doesn't have any light of its own that it generates. It's a reflector of the sun's light. Okay, verse 5. And the one half of her goes forth by a seventh part, and her whole circumference is empty without light, with the exception of one seventh part of it and the 14th part of her light. And when she receives one seventh part of the half of her light, her light amounts to one seventh part and the half thereof. Okay, verse 7. And she sets with the sun, and when the sun rises, the moon rises with him and receives the half of one part of light. And in that night, in the beginning of her morning, in the commencement of the lunar day, the moon sets with the sun and is invisible that night with the 14th parts and the half of one of them. Verse 8, and she rises on that day with exactly a seventh part and comes forth and recedes from the rising of the sun, and in her remaining days she becomes bright in the remaining 13 parts. Okay, Martin, that was chapter 73. It dealt with the moon. Do you have any comment? Okay, I don't know if Martin's busy. Chapter 74
hold
is
on,
not that.
Hold on.
73, chapter 73.
Okay, all right. What the moon was far less important, than the sun, because you had people pretty well, before you had artificial lighting, you might have little oil lamps, you might have fires or something like that, but such things cost money. And so people, they got up with the chickens and they went to bed with the chickens, you know what I mean? The only disagreement would be if you had, say, a caravan, which would travel in the desert at night, more than likely, then you'd have a change. But most people, it's a poor here. If they had a fire or something like that here, and in many cases what they would do is they'd have a small fire for cooking, and then they would turn the fire off or let it, burn in a hole or something like that, and they would move away from it here, unless it was wintertime or something like that. Most people stayed in. So the moon was not as important to men, 5,000 years ago as it is today, as it can be today here, because they didn't have they did not have artificial lighting, they didn't have any other means to do much of anything. So hey, most people. I mean, I'm not a morning person at all, but in any case, so.
Hey, Mark, let me ask you something. Discounting, not even counting the
the amount of light that the moon can give off at night. The moon also has an effect on the gravitational pull of the Earth. It also, I know a lot of people plant their crops, they go fishing, they hunt based on the, if it's a full moon, new moon, whatever. So I think the moon does have an effect on the Earth.
Okay.
Right?
Well, they do believe it is. It has an effect on the tides because there's, what, 1/6 the size, you know, and they said 1/7,
yeah.
But, you know, 1/6 the size of the Earth, and it is far closer than, say, the sun, which, you know, so as a result, you know, the sun has a gravitational effect upon the Earth, but the moon has far more in the case of tides than the rest here, so because it's so much closer here. 280 some, and then a little bit more sometimes, and a little bit less other times here, something like that here. So
yeah,
it has quite an effect too. Once you go on to chapter what? Oh,
74.
About 75 here.
Hold on. No, hold on. Well, I think we're on 74. Let's see. I just did 73, so now we're on 74. I haven't done 74 yet.
Oh, okay. Well, then let me...
70, we've only done two chapters. 72 and 73 were the sun and moon, and now 74, Uriel's talking again to Enoch. 74.
All right, 74. I'm sorry. I must have gone...
All right, here we go. 74 chapter, verse 1. And I saw another course, a law for her. This is still talking about the moon, evidently. And how, according to that law, she performs her monthly revolution. And verse 2, and all these, Uriel, the holy angel who is the leader of them all, evidently, Uriel controlled all the luminaries. He was the head. That was his job in the heavens. Who was the leader of them all, showed to me and their positions. And I wrote down their positions as he showed them to me, and I wrote down their months as they were, and the appearance of their lights till 15 days were accomplished. In single seventh parts, she accomplishes all her light in the east, and in a single seventh part accomplishes all her darkness in the west. Verse 4, and in certain months she alters her settings, and in certain months she pursues her own peculiar course. So, verse 5, in 2 months the moon sets with the sun. In those two middle portals of the third and the fourth, she goes forth for 7 days and turns about and returns again through the portal where the sun rises and accomplishes all her light. And she recedes from the sun and in 8 days enters the sixth portal from which the sun goes forth. And when the sun goes forth from the fourth portal, she goes forth 7 days until she goes forth from the fifth and turns back again in 7 days into the fourth portal and accomplishes all her light. And she recedes and enters into the first portal in 8 days. And she returns again in 7 days into the fourth portal from which the sun goes forth. Thus I saw their position, this is verse 9, how the moons rose and the moons, this is moons plural, but the earth only has one moon, how the moon rises and the sun set in those days. And if 5 years are added together, the sun has an overplus of 30 days. Okay, this is saying every 5 years that there's going to be the sun's going to have an overplus of 30 days. And all the days which accrue to it for one of those 5 years when they are full
amount to 364 days. So, okay. So this is talking about the where you get the surplus from 30 days in each month. And the overplus, verse 11, and the overplus of the sun and the star and of the stars amount to 6 days. In 5 years, 6 days, every year come to 30 days, and the moon falls behind the sun and stars to the number of 30 days. Verse 12, and the sun and the stars bring in all the years exactly, so that they do not advance or delay their position by a single day unto eternity, but they complete the years with perfect justice in 364 days. Verse 13, in 3 years, there are 1,092 days. In 5 years, there's 1,820 days. So then in 8 years, there's 2,912 days. Verse 14, for the moon alone, the days amount in 3 years to 1,062 days. And in 5 years, she falls 50 days behind to the sun's. There is to be added 1,062 days. Verse 15, and in 5 years, there are 1,770 days, so that for the moon, the days in 8 years amount to 2,832 days. For in 8 years, she falls behind to the amount of 80 days. All the days she falls behind in 8 years are 80. Verse 17, and the year is accurately completed in conformity with their world stations and the stations of the sun, which rise from the portals through which it rises and sets in 30 days. Hey, Martin, that was chapter 74. Do you have a comment? It's talking about how you have a surplus or a deficit of days over 3, 5, and 8 years or so. Martin.
Yeah, well, this is, he's talking about how you add days to the calendar in order to get it correct.
Yeah,
like you said,
exactly.
12 times 30 is what? 360 days, right? Well,
yeah.
Here is 364 and a half days. So, you know, many cases what they did is they just simply added. They made the month, the year made the month, what? You know, had 13 months and 28 days in some cases, or they, you know, in order to get the moon and the sun in line, and then usually what they would do, in some cases where they had 30 days, they would just simply add four days, you know, every 3 years at the end of March, and they'd add 4 days at the end of every March in some years, and that's what the Julian calendar was about. And so we have a difference between that and Gregorian because there was a change. And once it got to what? Oh, a week or so, it was beginning to become noticeable. It was beginning to become noticeable, you know, even under the Julian system here. So that was old style, new style. And what Enoch is talking about is how to add your days to get the calendar back in sync with the seasons, with the solar, you know, because there was a difference between the lunar cycle and there was a difference between the solar cycle. You had every 2 weeks, you would have it go from, what, new moon to full moon, you know what I mean? You
know, yeah.
The moon had a different cycle than what the sun did. So, hey, you know, you tried to go ahead and set it to where, okay, well, here's the moon, and it's full, and we're going to go ahead and set the thing. We're going to go ahead and try to set this cycle into sync with the sun cycle, and it don't really work that way. Now, you have these people like Russ Walker or a few others here. They got to show how smart they are because they believe stupid shit that nobody else believes here, and that's a source of pleasure. That's a source of pleasure to retards. You know what I mean? They just got to do something nobody else, you know, some little nugget of information that they think nobody else knows to make them, well, I'm so much smarter than you. And the answer is, no, you're a dumbass. You're essentially making a big thing out of nothing. You know what I mean? And why are you doing that? Well, because you're a nitwit. That's why you're doing it. So you go ahead and settle that away. But anyway, here he is talking and,
Hey, is Russ still, have you contacted Russ or has he called into your show or anything?
Nope. He goes ahead and bitches. He goes ahead and bitches here sometimes when I send, the movement turd via email. Oh, don't ever talk to me again, Martin. You're as bad as Logan here.
Oh.
I don't.
You still get his emails because he took me off his retard list.
Well, hey, maybe I'll go ahead and tell Skip Baker to say that Russ is 10% nigger and only 90% Jew here. You know what I mean? So then, Russler will leave for old Skip Baker. I don't know for the last 3 days. Essentially, now he's saying that Trump's KKK daddy is an Edomite Jew, so I don't know. Skip Baker, just his stupid notions here. Last 3 days, I follow him on Twitter, and he was yapping that Trump is the spawn of a Jew, two Jews.
Oh, is that what Russ Walker or Skip Baker, is that what Russ is saying?
That's what Skip Baker's saying.
Skip Baker used to support Trump a long time ago, probably.
Well, he's all mad because Trump is going to ask the mouthful Jews like Bibi Netanyahu and all that. And yeah, he does that shit. I mean, the God Emperor sometimes is a dog emperor or a dog emperor. And I was going to ask the mouthful Jews here and his darling daughter with the big fake tits here and the redone nose and the elongated neck. And I don't know. I mean, Trump's a clever politician, I'll grant you that here. It's just a lot of time he acts like a freaking buffoon. And little Skip Baker for the last 3 days, now is on the stick here that Trump said, spawn of two Edomite Jews. And, I don't know, maybe his mother, but, his dad was a Klansman, you know what I mean? His dad did lower middle, unlike the Levy towns here, he did his Levy town, but essentially it was for lower class working whites on Long Island and New Jersey and eastern Pennsylvania. You know what I mean?
Trump's dad made his money in real estate.
He did. He went ahead and made middle class and lower middle class, working white houses is what he did.
Yeah.
I mean, he got in trouble because he didn't really want to build anything for niggers. As far as he's concerned, the niggers could go ahead and live in shitholes here. But Trump's dad got in trouble for not building houses for niggers. You know what I mean? So I like Trump's father, even though I didn't know him. I mean, shit, Trump. What Trump did is that his dad got old and died, and I think they paid $2 million to EEOC because Trump Senior. Oh, they're bitching that Trump Senior got arrested as a Klansman in 1920 or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's my kind of guy. You know what I mean? I don't think Trump's a Jew. Other than through inverse male telegamy, I think he's humped quite a few Jews. Humped quite a few whores, too. You know what I mean? And, goofy bastard pays far more for pussy than he should. You know what I mean? But hell, that Jew boy, Eric Schneiderman, got in trouble for fucking these here little brown girls here and saying, you're my little brown slave, blah, 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 blah. The Jew boy was part of Me Too, and hey, he got caught. The Jew boy did. You know, the Jew boy.
Yeah.
Oh, hell. That Jew, Brian Todd Goldstein. So what do you think the odds are of the career as a Jew? He shows up Tuesday night here in an expensive black car and shit.
I don't know who Brian Todd Goldstein is. Who is that?
He's a Jew lawyer, you know, from Kansas City that they got hired here, you know, to essentially fight with me here over me suing him for violating Missouri Sunshine Law. He's already written up some shit here. But anyway, we'll go on here, but dumbass Skipper, he just, you know, for the past 3 days, he's been, you know, he thinks that Trump is, you know, spawn of a Jew boy and, you know, whatever. I mean,
so Skip Baker's got, does he have a YouTube page?
No,
or
he has a thing here. He does the same stupid shit, 666 here, picture of Satan here with, you know, red with horns,
yeah,
and, you know, funny looking tail, and keeps on doing that. Now, he did that against Russ Walker here, so
yeah, I know.
Maybe you ought to go ahead and tell Skipper's that Russ, you know, well, if you want to believe he's a Jew, fine, but, you know, the reason we are out of Russ here is maybe Skipper's one knows that Russ was 10% nigger. You know what I mean? Big Skip would like to hear that. You know what I mean? The Russ was 10% nigger.
Oh, yeah. Skip would love that.
I bet he would, yeah. But then again, you can't tell him nothing. Well, he's a Mossad nigger then. Oh, you know what I mean? You know, he was chasing me. He was chasing me here. Well, the Mossad ran me off the road after I mentioned my thing. You know, I mean, Skip, you know, Skip is his own brand of tar. You know what I mean?
Well, some people say, hey, Skip is from Virginia area. Some people say that he's supposedly a CIA, FBI agent, or informant.
He comes from Newport News. Essentially, that's where all the damn Navy shit is, you know, because that's where the harbor goes into the Chesapeake here. I mean, essentially, you know, it's one of the biggest, it's probably the biggest or next to the biggest naval port.
Well, I mean, so what do you think about Skip Baker? Has he ever admitted to what he did for a living? Did he work for the government? I mean, is he former government?
I think he more like, if he were at Newport News here, if he didn't work for the government, he was essentially working for, you know, he could have sold hamburgers here to sailors working for the government. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he comes from Newport News. That's Navy. That's a Navy town. That's not an FBI town. It's not like it's Langley, Virginia.
Virginia Beach, if Skip Baker was retired military, he'd probably brag about it. But if he's a retired FBI, he's not going to brag about it.
I don't think that. You know, I mean, come on, Skip. Skip in his own way is, you know, about nearly as big a retard as Russ Walker, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I remember when old Jigger Bear says that Russ was secret agent, man. He was spying. He was going to turn me into the FBI here. And I said, Russ, we're going to turn me into the FBI. Well, that's funny. That's amusing. You know what I mean? You know, Russ, we're just, you know, Russ, for the retard, is not going to turn me into the FBI. You know what I mean? But in any case, no, I haven't heard from Russ Bird since he got all butt hurt. He got all butt hurt because I was running the Logan Hunter show at ASAL here when you brought the thing up here. I heard that show. I was so hurt. So poor Russ Bird here. I mean, I like Russ. I really do. I still like Russ, but you know, now I know that, you know, Russford can't help himself. He's 10% nigger, and he's an idiot. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Himself.
He can't help it.
He
can't help it. Hey, listen. We got at least about, we're on chapter 75. We go all the way. If we finish this one section, we have to go to 83. I don't know if we're going to make it tonight or not, but Sunday we're going to do a special service on Sunday.
Passover.
Yeah. Okay.
We might start around 6 on Sunday.
What time is the movement turned tonight?
Oh, about 10. I mean, we've been on for an hour now.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll just cover it when we get covered. We'll do what we can.
Okay, go ahead. What's the next one? Chapter 75?
75.
Well, in this one, now he's talking to Uriel, and he is simply telling about the way, how many days they had to keep the calendar current. Because what they want to do is they want to make sure that during the spring equinox that it occurred pretty well, the same thing, because spring was in places like, in temperate climates, that was the time when you planted the seeds here. You know, the frost, you still had some frost, but essentially you started planting the cold weather crops here, and a lot of European crops like cabbage and beets and stuff like that are cool weather crops here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They weren't planting mangoes. You know what I mean? And especially when you get close to the equator, when you are at the equator, the days are pretty well the same length anyway. You know what I mean? They might vary no more than 15 minutes. You know what I mean? So here it is. It was quite important to get the spring, it didn't matter what you call it, but try to get the days in line with, essentially the new time of spring planting here, at least in the northern. So in any case, that's why he's talking about how to get the calendar in line. And usually what happens is that days were added, days were taken, away, after the spring equinox here, and that's why you had something called April Fools, to where people who were in the know would be fooled and on April 1st here, and they wouldn't know the difference between April 28th or April 29th or April 30th and March 20th, 28th, 29th, 30th here, and the difference between April 1st here. So that's where you get the term April Fools. So let's go on to chapter 75.
Yeah, chapter 75. Here we go, Martin. And the leaders of the heads of the thousands, this is verse 1, who are placed over the whole creation and over all the stars. So this is all the angels that are over all creation and over all the stars, have also to do with the four intercalary days being inseparable from their office. Now, it's talking about the four extra days you have if you have 30 days in each month and 364 days in a year. You've got four extra there because you only got 360 if you have 30 days in each month. So these 4 days are inseparable from their office according to the reckoning of the year, and these render service on the 4 days which are not reckoned in the reckoning of the year. And owing to them, men go wrong therein, for those luminaries truly render service on the world stations. One in the first portal, one in the third portal of the heavens, one in the fourth portal, and one in the sixth portal. And the exactness of the year is accomplished through its separate 364 stations. For the signs and the times and the years and the days, the angel Uriel showed to me, whom Yahweh set forever over all the luminaries of the heavens, in the heaven and in the world. So this was Uriel's job, that they should rule on the face of the heaven and be seen on the earth and be leaders for the day and the night, i.e. the sun, moon, and stars, and all the ministering creatures which make their revolution, and all the chariots of the heaven. In like manner, 12 doors Uriel showed me, open in the circumference of the sun's chariot in the heaven. Through what? Now, when it says the sun's chariot,
it would be like, it's not that the sun is actually sitting on a horse and buggy chariot, but it's the pathway that the sun travels. You know, it's his chariot, the pathway, the line of travel, the orbit of the sun. So the sun's chariot in heaven through which the rays of the sun break forth, and from then is warmth diffused. The warmth of the sun is diffused over the earth when they are opened at their appointed seasons. So it's saying Yahweh controls the amount of sun, shine, and heat coming from the sun to reach the earth. Verse 5, and for the winds and the spirit of the dew, when they are opened, standing open in the heavens at the ends, as for 12 portals in the heaven, at the ends of the earth, out of which go forth the sun, moon, stars, and all the works of heaven in the east and in the west. So this is talking about the 12 portals of heaven. Verse 7. There are many windows open to the left and right of them, and one window at its appointed season produces warmth corresponding as these do to those doors from which the stars come forth according as he has commanded them. Now remember, it talks about the doorways or portals that the stars come through. Now it's talking about the portals or doorways or windows that the sunlight and the warmth will go through. We also talked about the winds, the four winds. All right, so here we go. That was verse 9. From which the stars come forth according as he had numbered them, and wherein they set corresponding to their number. Verse 8. And I saw chariots in the heaven running in the world above those portals in which revolve the stars that never set. And one is larger than all the rest. And it is that that makes its course through the entire world. So he's saying there's one star that's larger than all the other stars, and it makes its course through the entire world. Martin, that was chapter 75. We did 9 verses.
Okay.
Martin.
Well, you had Uriel, who in many cases was Yahweh's herald as well. And one of his jobs was to essentially sort of like wind things up to go ahead and make things go about their appointed courses, appointed rounds here. Like in Greek mythology, Apollo had a son called Phaeton or something like that, and he wanted to ride Apollo's chariot of the sun across the sky, and he went ahead and went too low, he went too high, you know, he caused, you know, the fields to burn up and the rest here, so it's, you know, Apollo had to kill his own son, supposedly, in order to save mankind or something like that. So You have for the course of the sun and the moon and the stars, which do not move, or did not seem like they moved, across the 12 portals, which they call the signs of the zodiac or whatever, they don't move or they don't seem to move at all. And what happens is that they believe that both the sun and the moon, you know, was on a certain course here. And it was like, you know, having a chariot. So it's having a chariot pull that heavenly body across the sky. So this is, you know, this is Enoch going ahead and explaining that in chapter 75.
Okay, Martin.
Yeah.
Are you ready for chapter 76?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. And at the ends of the earth, I saw, this is verse 1, I saw 12 portals open to all the quarters of the heavens, from which the winds go forth and blow over the earth, Three of them are open on the face of the east of the heavens, and three in the west, three on the south of the heaven, and three on the north. So there's 12 openings that Yahweh sends the wind down to the earth, and there's three to the north, three to the west, three to the east, and three to the south. All right, you know, he talks about the four winds in the Bible. All right, here we continue here. He talks about the four corners, too, the winds of the four corners. Here, verse 3. And the three first are those of the east, and three are of the north, and three after those on the left of the south, and three of the west. Through four of these come wind of blessing and prosperity. Oh, so you can have wind that's good. Four of the 12 Yahweh uses to bless and prosper his children, Israel. And from those, the other eight come hurtful winds when they are sent. They bring destruction on all the earth and on the water upon it, and on all who dwell thereon, and on everything which is in the water and on the land. That was verse 4. So, according to this, you know, it talks about the old sailors a long time ago, they used to talk about favorable winds, you know, and good winds that were blessed with. But this right here says that when you have a tornado or a hurricane or a storm and it brings destruction, that's Yahweh, and he's punishing the wicked. He's punishing. So it doesn't matter whether the Illuminati has the harp or the scalar weapons. Yahweh allows them to use that for his own, you know, Satan thinks he's in control. He is the god of this earth. But Yahweh, just like Pharaoh, Yahweh hardened his heart and got him to do evil. Well, Yahweh allows Satan to do evil, but sometimes it's for Yahweh's benefit to weed out the undesirables, to test people. Verse 5, I'm not saying that Yahweh and Satan are buddies. I'm not saying. Satan thinks he's going to outsmart Yahweh, but Yahweh is, he's in control, and he just lets Satan think that he's going to get his way. Verse 5, and the first wind from those portals, called the east wind, come forth through the first portal, which is in the east, inclining toward the south. From it come forth desolation, drought, heat, and destruction. Verse 6, and through the second portal, in the middle comes what is fitting, and from it there comes rain and fruitfulness and prosperity and dew. And through the third portal, which lies toward the north, come cold and drought. So you do get the cold wind coming from the north. And a second portal, I think, was from the south, which is good, and the east brings destruction. Verse 7, and after these come forth, the west brings forth prosperity, the good western winds. Verse 7, and after these come forth the south winds through three portals. Through the first portal of them, inclining the east, comes from a hot wind, and through the middle portal next to it comes forth fragrant smells and dew and rain and prosperity and health. And through the third portal line to the west come forth dew and rain and locust and desolation. So actually, Yahweh can send a good or a bad wind through any direction. He just has more. He has twice as many portals for curses as he does blessings. Verse 10, and after these, the north winds from the seventh portal in the east comes dew and rain, locust and desolation. And from the middle portal comes in a direct direction, health and rain and dew and prosperity. And through the third portal in the west comes a cloud and hoarfrost and snow and rain and dew and locusts. Verse 12, and after these four are the west winds through the first portal adjoining the north
come forth dew and hoarfrost and cold and snow and frost. And from the middle portal come forth dew and rain and prosperity and blessing. And through the last portal, which adjoins the south, come forth drought and desolation and burning and destruction. And the 12 portals of the four quarters of heaven are therewith complete, and all their laws and all their plagues and all their benefactions have I shown to thee, my son Methuselah. So actually, not only did Enoch was taught some of this stuff, but Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, was also taught. We know Noah was given secrets from Enoch, but Methuselah was also. Hey, Martin.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting how Yahweh operates the wind and the rain, and for good or bad, huh?
Yeah. Well, in each direction of the compass, you know, north, east, south, and west, you had, you know, essentially the center portion had the good things of that particular direction here. Be it from the north, you did get the snow, but you also got the good snow. And then, you know, from the south, it would usually be heat. In the east would be, you know, would be something good, the gentle breezes, but also the ones which is shared with the north, which was, you know, the one which was shared with the north here, and the one shared with the south, you'd end up having the bad things, which would come from the opposing direction. So you end up having three different winds, and it's the one that in the middle, which was the, you know, was altogether the, you know, the blessings, and, you know, the one, you know, the one, you know, away from the middle would share, you know, the bad things with the next, you know, with the northern direction here. Like with the east, you'd end up having snow. You'd end up having things like that here. So, you know, pretty well it was the middle of each direction here, which was the most fruitful. And the one that shared with the next direction, which had the bad, the worst things. You know what I mean? So you'd have what? 12 different directions here, or 12 different winds from about 4 different directions. So that's what you would have.
Okay, are you ready for 77?
He went in, and he says, well, hey, my grandson, or my son, Methuselah was Enoch's son, so he went ahead and showed Methuselah that, you know, Methuselah, who was, his destiny was to have the longest life. So now they go ahead, the four quarters of the world, seven mountains, seven rivers, and et cetera here. So go ahead and go on to 77.
Okay, here we go, 77. Let's talk about the four quarters of the world, the seven mountains, the seven rivers. And the first quarter is called the east because it is the first. Well, the sun rises in the east, and that's the first one we need to deal with. The second is the south, because the Most High will descend there. Yea, there in quite a special sense will he who is blessed forever descend. So, Yahweh and Yahshua both will descend from the south. And the west quarter is named the diminished, because there are the luminaries of the heaven wane and they go down. And the fourth quarter, named the north, is divided into three parts. The first of them is for the dwelling of men. The second contains the seas of water and the abysses. So there's more than one abyss. And forest and rivers and darkness and clouds. And the third part contains the garden of righteousness. Well, that would be similar, I guess, to the Garden of Eden. Okay. Verse 4. I saw seven high mountains higher than all the mountains which are on the earth. So these mountains are not on the earth. They're up in the heavens in a different dimension or plane.
And thence comes forth hoarfrost, and days and seasons and years pass away. Verse 5, I saw seven rivers on the earth larger than all the rivers. One of them coming from the west pours its waters into the great sea. Now, if he said he saw seven rivers on the earth, but they were larger than all the other rivers, maybe this is in another dimension, because these seven mountains were higher than all the other mountains that were on the earth. So there's mountains and rivers that we can see currently on this earth, but there's seven high mountains and seven large rivers that we can't see. So one of them, of the seven rivers coming from the west, pours its waters into the great sea, and these two come from the earth north to the sea and pour their waters into the Erythraean Sea in the east. And the remaining four come forth on the side of the north to their own sea. Two of them to the Erythraean Sea, and two into the great sea, and discharge themselves there, and some say into the desert. Seven great islands I saw in the sea, and in the mainland, two in the mainland, and five in the great sea. Okay, Martin, you got any comment?
Well, he is talking about that which he knows here. Did he know about the African niggers? Well, I know. Here he is. He is in the Tarim Basin. He might very well know about Eden. He might very well know about what happened in Mesopotamia. He might know about the Nile. He might know about the Euphrates. He may know about the Tigris. He may know about other rivers like the Indus or the, you know, Axacarta, and maybe even the Ganges, but, you know, he doesn't really know all, you know. Does he know the rivers in Siberia? Does he know the mountains, you know, in North America or South America? And the answer is, of course, he does not here. All he knows about is that which concerned Adamic man. He may not even know about the rivers in Europe at all, because here he is. Here he is about 8,000 miles away from those rivers. So there are more than seven rivers, but, you know, the main seven that he's talking about are the ones that he would have known about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, in case, here he is. I mean, he is talking about, and some of it seems parochial to us because he did not know about the constraints of the entire world. What he knew about was essentially that which concerned him, and what concerned him was the people of Yahweh from Adam through to Seth here, and he was one of the patriarchs. So probably the seventh or the eighth patriarch after Adam. So that's what, you know, and he may very well have been born when Adam was still alive. So here he is, talking about something that he does know about. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So go on to chapter
78. We're on 78, Martin. Here we go. It's a little bit longer, but not much. This talks about the sun and moon, the waning and waxing of the moon. Okay, this ought to be interesting. Verse 1. And the names of the sun are the following. The first, Or Jahres, the second, Tomas. And verse 2, and the moon has four names. The first name is Asanja, the second, Ebla, the third, Anase, and the fourth, Era. Now, unless these... these different names for the sun and moon, I would assume, is this the angels have different names for the sun and moon? Did the Hebrews, are these names derived from originally Hebrew? We don't know. Verse 3, these are the two great luminaries. Their circumference is like the circumference of the heaven, and the size of the circumference of both is alike. Well, the only reason
that they both appear to have the exact same size up in the sky is because the sun, being a lot larger than the moon, is a lot further off. So, but I think a key point here is that us Israelites on this earth, the sun and moon are both equally important, and therefore, from the visible naked eye, they both appear to be the same size. And also, it says their circumference is like the circumference of the heaven. Now, that right there means that their fullness, their circumference, is that, like that of all of the heaven. That's telling me the sun and the moon are very important for us in flesh bodies to keep Yahweh's laws, to go by the sun and moon, to obey Yahweh. That's the whole duty of man, but that's the whole duty of the universe, is to fear Yahweh and keep His commandments. If you can master Yahweh's laws and learn everything there is to learn about Yahweh in a flesh body on this earth, then you're not going to have a problem later on when Yahweh gives you more knowledge and more ability and more understanding to deal with the whole universe. There we go here. Let me continue here. I was on verse 4. In the circumference, verse 4, the circumference of the sun, there are 7 portions of light which are added to it, more than to the moon, and in definite measure it is transferred till the 7th portion of the sun is exhausted. So we know the sun transfers its light to the moon. We know that. Verse 5, and they set and enter the portals, or it reflects actually, and they set and enter the portals of the west and make their revolution by the north and come forth for the eastern portals on the face of the heaven. And when the moon rises 1/14th part, appears in the heaven, the lights become full in her. On the 14th day, she accomplishes her light, and 15 parts of light are transferred to her to the 15th day, when her light is accomplished according to the sign of the year, and she becomes 15 parts. And the moon grows by the addition of 14 parts. Verse 8, and in her waning, the moon decreases on the first day to 14 parts of her light, on the second to 13 parts, on the third to 12 parts, on the fourth to 11, on the fifth to 10, on the sixth to 9, on the seventh to 8, on the 8th to 7th, on the 9th to 6th, on the 10th to 5th. This is perfect clockwork here. This is a perfect, measure of time that Yahweh gave us. On the 11th to 4, on the 12th to 3, on the 13th to 2, and on the 14th to half of a 7th. And all her remaining light appears wholly on the 15th. And in certain months, the month has 29 days, and once 28. There we go. This is talking about how you can have 28 days or 29 days in the month. And Uriel showed me another law, verse 10. When light is transferred to the moon, and on which side it is transferred to her by the sun, during all the period during which the moon is growing in her light, she is transferring it to herself when opposite to the sun during 14 days. Her light is accomplished in the heaven, and when she is illuminated throughout, her light is accomplished full in the heaven. And on the 5th day, she is called the new moon, for on that day the light rises upon her. She becomes, so a new moon, it says the light is just starting to rise upon the moon.
She becomes a full moon exactly on the day when the sun sets in the west, and from the east she rises at night, and the moon shines the whole night through till the sun rises over against her, and the moon is seen over against the sun. Verse 14, on the side whence the light of the moon comes forth, there again she wanes till all the light vanishes, and all the days of the month are at an end, and her circumference is empty, void of light. And 3 months she makes of 30 days. And at her time she makes 3 months of 29 days, in which she accomplishes her waning in the first period of time, and in the first portal for 177 days. And in the time of her going out, she appears for 3 months of 30 days each, and for 3 months she appears of 29 each. At night she appears like a man for 20 days each time, and by day she appears like the heaven. And there is nothing else in her save her light. Okay, Martin, that was chapter 70. That was 77, I'm sorry.
77, yeah. 77, and what he is, he's talking about...
No, actually, that was supposed to be 78. Hold on, that was supposed to be 78. They've mislabeled it because 79 is next, and we already did 77. So there's two chapters that are labeled 77. Technically, that's 78.
Oh, okay. I see. It's 78. At the very top in italics is 77 in boldface underneath.
That's correct. It's 78. I'm sorry, it's 78. You're right. You're right.
All right. We'll go on. Go on to the next one.
Okay. The next one is chapter 79, and it deals with the recapitulation of several of the laws. And now, my son, I have shown thee everything, and the law of all the stars of the heaven is completed. So Enoch has showed Methuselah everything. And he showed Methuselah all the laws of these for every day, and for every season of bearing rule, and for every year, and for its going forth, and for the order prescribed to it every month and every week. It doesn't just go into the year. It goes into 3, 5, 8 years, a century. I mean, it teaches you how to look far ahead for Yahweh. If you're going to go by his calendar and set the feast days and everything, I mean, our people were supposed to do this. Verse 3, and the waning of the moon, which takes place in the sixth portal, for in the sixth portal her light is accomplished, and after that there is the beginning of the waning. And the waning which takes place in the first portal in its season till 177 days are accomplished, reckoned according to weeks, 25 weeks and 2 days. She falls behind the sun and the order of the stars exactly 5 days in the course of one period. And when this place which thou seest has been traversed, such is the picture and sketch of every luminary which Uriel the archangel, who is their leader, showed unto me. This is very interesting, Martin. That was chapter 79. Do you have a comment?
Okay, I see. Let me see here. 70, oh, it looks like 82 here, but no, that's something else here. Okay. We got a few more chapters to go, don't we? Okay.
Yeah, we got a few more chapters to go. We did 79, we're on 80. Let's see, hold on. We got 80 and, well, all we got is 80, 81, and 82. We've only got 3 chapters left. We might as well do them.
Yeah, might as well get them done here.
All right, here we go, 80. And in those days, the angel Uriel, this is verse 1, 80. And in those days, the angel Uriel answered and said to me, "Behold, I have shown thee everything, Enoch, and I have revealed everything to thee that thou shouldst see with the sun and the moon and the leaders of the stars of the heavens and all those who turn them, their task and their times and departures." Okay, now we're going to verse 2. And in the days of these sinners, the years shall be shortened, and their seed shall be tardy on their lands and fields. So the sinners are not only breaking Yahweh's laws, they're lazy and they're not working their land, their fields, and all things on the earth shall alter and fall apart. Well, that's what we have right now. Everything's falling apart because not only do you have the Jews and Mamzers and all the other races screwing things up in the white countries, but you got Uyghurs, you got white trash that are sinning, breaking all of Yahweh's laws, and they're not maintaining a society for Israel. "And all things on the earth shall alter and shall not appear in their time, and the rain shall be kept back, and the heavens shall withhold it." So you're going to have a drought. You're going to have a famine. You're going to have starvation. And this isn't even counting the GMO crops and all the other problems we have. Verse 3, "And in those times the fruits of the earth shall be backward and shall not grow in their time, and the fruits of the trees shall be withheld in their time, and the moon shall alter her order." Well, Yahweh says, if you're not going to follow after me, if you're going to walk contrary to me, then you expect me to keep my part of the bargain? No, you're going to be cursed. You're not going to get blessings. So Yahweh is keeping his part of the bargain. He said if we weren't going to follow him, then we would be cursed. And the white race is cursed. "And the moon shall alter her order and not appear at her time. And in those days the sun shall be seen, and he shall journey in the evening on the extremity of the great chariot in the west, and shall shine more brightly than accords with the order of light." Verse 6, "And many chiefs of the stars shall transgress the order prescribed." This would be fallen angels, I guess, chief of the stars. "And these shall alter their orbits and tasks and not appear at the seasons prescribed to them." So not only is Israel not doing their job, the white race, but you got a lot of fallen angels that are running the Illuminati with the Rothschilds and Satan and his kids. Verse 7, "And the whole order of the stars shall be concealed from the sinners, and the thoughts of those on the earth shall err concerning them." So the people on the earth are not even going to know what to do. They're not going to know Yahweh. They're not going to know what's going on. "And they shall be altered from all their ways. Yea, they shall err and take them to be gods." So these sinners are going to err, and they're going to worship Satan and the fallen angels as gods. Verse 8, "And evil shall be multiplied upon them, and punishment shall come upon them so as to destroy them all." Martin, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Let's see.
That was 80.
It says, "A perversion nation of heavenly bodies owing to the sin of men." So what he says is because men have sinned. You know, they've miscegenated. They've listened to demons. They have, wanted demon knowledge rather than they wanted godly knowledge. That all the things here, just like Yahweh told Adam here, that the earth will not give forth its bounty. You're going to have to work for a living. You'll get your bread from the sweat of your own brow. Weeds and tares and thistles will spring up. So it says, same way with the heavenly bodies. The heavenly bodies will, in some cases, wane. The winds will not, favor you in many cases here. You'll end up having the bad ones in some cases. "The whole order of the stars shall be concealed from the sinners. Thoughts of those on earth shall err concerning them." So, what happens is men will not know when's the best time to do things here. They shall be
That's right.
And take them, it says that in many cases, they will err and take these heavenly beings to be gods instead here. And evil shall be multiplied upon them, and punishment shall come upon them so as to destroy all. So, because men have sinned here, nature is not going to be very bountiful to them. In fact, it will be, in many ways, at variance with them. Okay?
Yep. Okay, here we go. You ready for 81?
Yeah, go ahead.
This deals with the heavenly tablets and the mission of Enoch. Verse 1, and he said unto me, observe, Enoch, these heavenly tablets, and read what is written thereon, and mark every individual fact. Well, we know Moses was given the law on earth in tablets, and now Enoch is given tablets in heaven. It's very important here. Verse 2, and I observed the heavenly tablets and read everything which was written thereon and understood everything and read the book of all the deeds of mankind and of all the children of flesh that shall be upon the earth to the remotest generations. And forthwith I blessed the great Lord Yahweh, the King of glory forever and ever, and that he has made all the works of the world. And I extolled Yahweh because of his patience and blessed him because of the children of man. And after that I said, blessed is the man who dies in righteousness and goodness, concerning whom there is no book of unrighteousness written, and against whom no day of judgment shall be found. So what this is saying is, if you fear Yahweh and keep his commandments, then you don't have to worry about punishment from Yahweh. That's very important. Nobody in Identity teaches that. They teach white power. They don't teach to fear Yahweh and keep his commandments. They don't do that, and that's why we're in trouble. That's why the white race is in trouble for 2,000 years, because they've forgotten the red letters and the laws of Yahweh, and they don't truly appreciate Yahweh, and they don't respect his word. They have made up their own laws or followed after Satan's law, you know, and his kids, the serpent seed laws. Here we go. Verse 5, and those seven holy ones brought me and placed me on the earth before the door of my house and said to me, declare everything to thy son Methuselah and show to all thy children that no flesh is righteous in the sight of Yahweh. We know that because the Messiah himself said, don't call me good while I'm in a flesh body, even though he was perfect. Because the act of him taking on the flesh body to take on the sins of all of Israel, basically, that's why 3 days later, he arose back in a spirit body to ascend back into heaven. Because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of Yahweh. Remember, that's very important. So, even Enoch was taught that no flesh is righteous in the sight of Yahweh, for he is their creator. One year we will leave thee with thy son, till thou givest thy last commandments to Methuselah, that thou mayest teach thy children and record it for them, and testify to all thy children. And in the second year they shall take thee from their midst. Verse 7, let thy heart be strong, for the good shall announce righteousness to the good. The righteousness with the righteous shall rejoice and shall offer congratulations to one another. But the sinner shall die with the sinners, and the apostate go down with the apostate. And those who practice righteousness shall die on account of the deeds of men and be taken away on account of the doings of the godless. So actually this is saying that if you are going to practice righteousness, you will be persecuted by the wicked people on this earth, and you'll probably be martyred or killed. And on top of that, another key part of this, he says, the righteous will, together with the other righteous, shall rejoice together and congratulate each other
Let me pose this question. If all these identity preachers and all these identity greats are such good people, how come they're so jealous and envious and backstabbing of one another and greedy? And how come they don't ever rejoice in the red letters in the law and teach and keep them? And how come they don't rejoice in being around other men and women who teach and keep the law? And how come they don't congratulate each other for doing right? I have never seen that before I came into identity, or really, you don't see it. The white race has a problem. And by reading Enoch, we really see a lot of stuff why they don't want this in the modern Bibles. The final verse of this 81 here, verse 10, and in those days they ceased to speak to me, and I came to my people and blessed the Lord of the world. Okay, Martin, we got one more chapter. What about 81? You got any comment? The last one's a long one. I'm going to go ahead and start it if you don't got a comment. Chapter 82 is the last one. The charge given to Enoch, the four intercalary days, the stars which lead the seasons and the months. Verse 1, and now my son...
Logan.
81, you got any comments? 81.
You did 81 here? Okay, I'm looking here. I see the perversion nature here. Let me see. 81, he said to me, observe even these heavenly tablets and red rows marked therein and marked every individual fact. Is that where you're at now?
No. I did 81, and 81 was real short. Okay. It dealt with, that's it. You just read it. Yeah, you're on it.
Okay. So declare everyone, everything through your son Methuselah. Show all your children no flesh is righteousness in the sight, sight of the Lord.
That's right.
The Creator. So this is, in many ways, this predates the book of Job. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because no flesh is righteous in the sight of Yahweh. I mean, even the best of us here, even when we're doing our best, our righteousness is nothing more than...
That's right.
Let your heart be strong here. Sinners shall die with sinners. The apostate go down with the apostate. And those who practice righteousness shall die on account of deeds of men, be taken away on account of the doings of the godless. In those days they ceased to speak to me, I came to my people blessing the Lord of the world. So you already read that, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, he goes ahead and he states that, it's about the heavenly tablets, the mission of Enoch. So he did go ahead and write these books here that he was supposed to write here on these tablets.
Mm-hmm.
And write the book of all deeds of mankind, all the children of flesh shall be on the earth to the remotest generations. Thenceforth bless the great Lord, the King of glory, for ever he has made all works of the world here. He said, these seven holy ones brought me and placed me on the earth before the door of my house, said to me, declare everything to your son Methuselah and show, to all your children, no place is righteous here. So it goes on, the righteous with the righteous shall rejoice and offer congratulations to one another, but the sinners shall die with the sinners. So he is, he is already dividing the world here, just like Christ's world, between the sheep and the goats. Apostate go down apostate, and those who practice righteousness shall die on account of deeds of men, be taken away on account of the doings of the godless. And when those days they should speak to me, I came to my people, blessing the Lord of the world. Okay, go ahead and go to 82, and that'll be the last.
Okay, let's go to 82, Martin.
Chapter, right? Okay.
Yeah, this, after 82, we're done for the night. We'll say a prayer, and we'll end the portion of the Bible study.
Sure.
82 deals with, let me get back here, index, excuse me, here, 82. All right, this deals with the charge given to Enoch, the intercalary days, the stars which lead the seasons and the months. And now my son Methuselah, verse 1, all these things I am recounting to thee and writing down for thee, and I have revealed to thee everything and given thee books concerning all these. So he didn't hold anything back. He gave Methuselah all the knowledge he had. So preserve, my son Methuselah, the books from thy father's hand, and see that thou deliver them to the generations of the world. I have given wisdom to thee and to thy children, and thy children that shall be to thee, that they may give it to their children for generations. This wisdom, namely, the pass that passeth their thought, and those who understand it shall not sleep, but shall listen with the ear, that they may learn this wisdom, and it shall please those that eat thereof better than good food. Verse 4, blessed are all the righteous. Blessed are all those who walk in the way of righteousness and sin not as the sinners. In the reckoning of their days in which the sun traverses the heavens, entering into and departing from the portals for 30 days, with the heads of thousands of the orders of the stars, together with the four which are intercalated, which divide the four portions of the year, which lead them and enter with them 4 days, owing to them men shall be at fault and not reckon them in the whole reckoning of the year. Yea, man shall be at fault.
Logan, can you hear me? I got kicked off by the beer phone. All right, folks, we are waiting for Logan to come back on here. Trying to unmute him. Come on.
Okay, Martin, I think I went over the two hour mark.
Yeah, I did too, and I got booted off by the beer phone, and then I couldn't hear you, so...
All right. Anyway, we're almost done. Give me about five or seven minutes, and we'll be done with this chapter.
Sure.
All right. Anyway, folks, sorry about that. In the reckoning of the days which the sun traverses the heathen, entering into and departing from the portals for 30 days, with the heads of thousands of the order of the stars, together with the four which are intercalculated, which divide the four portions of the year, which lead them and enter with them 4 days. Verse 5, owing to them, men shall be at fault and not reckon them in the whole reckoning of the year. Yea, man shall be at fault and not recognize them accurately. For they belong to the reckoning of the year and are truly recorded thereon forever, one in the first portal and one in the third, one in the fourth and one in the sixth. And the year is completed in 364 days. So this is saying, because of sin and transgression, the people on the earth are not going to know how to record time. They're not going to, you know, once they start breaking Yahweh's laws, then they're going to lose all knowledge of Yahweh, and they're going to be lost. Verse 7, and the account thereof is accurate, and the recorded reckoning thereof exact, for the luminaries and months and festivals, that would be the feast days and Sabbath and year and days, has Uriel shown and revealed for to me, to whom the Lord Yahweh, of whom the whole creation of the world has subjected the host of heaven. And he has power over night and day in the heaven to cause the light to give light to men, sun, moon, and stars, and all the powers of the heavens which revolve in their circular chariots. And these are the order of the stars which set in the places and in their seasons and festivals and months. Verse 10, and these are the names of those who lead them, who watch that they enter at their times, in their orders, in their seasons, in their months, in their periods of dominion, and in their positions. Their four leaders who divide the four parts of the year enter first, and after that, the 12 leaders of the orders who divide the 12 months. And for that, and then you have the 360 days, their heads over thousands who divide the days. And for the four intercalculatory days, there are the leaders which surrender the four parts of the year. And these head over thousands are intercalated between leader and leader, each behind a station.
but their leaders make the division. And these are the names of the leaders who divide the four parts of the year, which are ordained. And let me read this name here. Melchiel, Elimelech, and Melazal, and Narel. And the names of those who lead them are Adnarel and Ajasusa and Elomiel. These three follow the leaders of the orders, and there is one that follows the three leaders of the orders, which follows those leaders of stations that divide the four parts of the year. Now, those are some angels you never hear of, except for Uriel. I've never heard of any of these other people. In the beginning, verse 15 of the year, Michael rises first and rules. Who is named Tammany and son, and all the days of his dominion while he bears rule are 91 days. And these are the signs of the days which are to be seen on earth in the days of his dominion, sweat and heat and calms, and all the trees bear fruit, and leaves are produced on all the trees, and the harvest of wheat, and the rose flowers, and all the flowers which come forth in the field. But the trees of the winter season become withered, and these are the names of the leaders which are under them. Berkael, Zelebel, and another who is added ahead of 1,000 called Haluyasif, and the days of the dominion of this leader are at an end. Verse 18. The next leader after him is Elimelech, whom one names the Shining Sun, and all the days of his light are 91 days, and these are the signs of his days on earth: glowing heat and dryness, and the trees ripen their fruit. This would be the summertime, and produce all their fruits ripe and ready, and the sheep pair and become pregnant. It talks about fruit trees and sheep. Very important to Yahweh. And all the fruits of the earth are gathered in, and everything that is in the fields, and the wine press. These things take place in the days of his dominion. These are the names and the orders and the leaders and those heads of thousands: Gidajal, Kael, and Hael, and the names of the head of 1,000 which is added to them. Asphael, and the days of his dominion are at an end. Okay, Martin, we have concluded the portion of this Bible study. We have finished 82 here, chapter, and that was the book of the courses of the heavenly luminaries. We're going to stop here. Do you have any comment, Martin?
Well, what we covered tonight was probably as close to a natural history. Close to a natural history as the Book of Enoch is. And it was pretty detailed as to the courses of the sun, the moon, the stars, the winds. And at the very end, it goes ahead and reminds that no man are more righteous than Yahweh. That, you know, pretty well something that Job, who doubtless knew and doubtless had read the Book of Enoch, seems to have forgotten, and therefore he was punished. He was punished, Yahweh allowed Satan to punish him so he could relearn that lesson. He could have learned far more profitably by simply reading the Book of Enoch. So we need to
That's
understand
right.
that,
that
even,
is right.
works, even with all our good works here, still our righteousness is as filthy rags as compared to Yahweh's glory. But on the other hand, we do obey the law because that is what we are. That is the people we are.
You know, just like Billy Roper pretending to be CIA dentistry, even though he's a Darwinian seed line, confidential informant. What happens is that we are people of the law, we are people of the covenant, and essentially the law and the covenant are a blessing to us, and it is our glory that we obey and that we belong to Yahweh. So in any case, that is what we've covered Sunday night, and plan to have essentially a Passover service because the 20th
okay.
of May is Passover. And then we will have the next one will be that will be the last of the spring festivals, and then we'll have the essentially the fall festivals, sometime in September and October, afterwards. So that is that.
Let me go. Hey! Let me go ahead and do a prayer real quick, and then I'm gonna talk to you for a couple of seconds before we end the show.
Sure.
Okay, folks, let's go ahead and close this portion of the show, the Bible study. We're going to lift our hands up to heaven and Yahweh, and here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we thank you for all your blessings, great and small, that you have given us, your children, Israel, the true Israelites. We know that we read in Enoch tonight. We read it in the different books that are bundled with Enoch, the letters to Methuselah and also to Noah. And, Enoch did not hold back any of the knowledge he was given. He gave it all to Methuselah, gave it all to Noah, and then the rest of the righteous that would listen. And we reiterate, like Martin said, that no flesh is righteous, even Yeshua, even Yahweh in a flesh body, even the Messiah, the Son, the Word made flesh, the only perfect one. He said, don't call him good, because he was in a flesh body, and he was going to take on the sins of all of Israel and be crucified and died. And he would not retain that same flesh body. When he arose again 3 days later, he was in a spirit body. And we know flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of Yahweh, the kingdom of heaven. And we know that we are never to think highly of ourselves as being equal to Yahweh. We are supposed to strive to be perfect as you, our Father, are perfect. But we are not supposed to we're supposed to be humble, Father. And so we appreciate what we read tonight. We wish we had access to this a long time ago so that we could follow your feast days and Sabbaths and follow all your commandments and laws and not live in ignorance. As Enoch said, blessed is he who lives a righteous life and never sins, lives a perfect life. And we know that's possible. We know the rich man in the red letters, and Yeshua spoke to him. We know that he lived a perfect life, and he didn't break any of the laws. But yet, when he was asked, would he sell everything he has and give it to the poor and follow the Creator? And he knew that was Yahweh in the flesh body. He knew that was the Messiah. And he was not willing to do that. So, Father, let us always strive to be perfect as you are perfect in heaven. And let us always strive to be humble and to fear you and keep your commandments. That's the whole duty of man. And we also learn, Father, that the reason the sun and moon are equal circumference from this vantage point on earth is that they're also representative of the entire universe. And we know the moon, the sun and moon, we know the moon, the sun's supposed to represent you, and the moon's supposed to represent your laws and how you reflect on your laws and how that's so important for us to keep your commandments. So not only is the whole duty of man on this earth to fear you and keep your commandments, but also as we go on to be with you in eternal life. The whole duty of us in the universe is to love you first and foremost and keep all of your commandments and laws and love our neighbor as ourself. That would be forever. I mean, your laws are never going to be done away with. So, Father, we want to pray that all the lost and found sheep worldwide, however few there are left, that they would hear your words and they would seek after you and they would repent, truly repent and go back to keeping your laws, then you would heal them, Father Yahweh. That's what we want to pray. We want to pray for the elect, for the people that love you and fear you and keep your commandments. Pray that they would continue to stand for your word, and that if they stumble or they're in error, that you would correct them and you would keep them safe as far as guide them, that they would not be in ignorance. And Father Yahweh, we just want to close this prayer out and give you thanks, and we will continue to fear you and keep your commandments, to walk humbly and to teach your words as often as we can on this radio or any other avenue we have, as long as you allow us and if it was your will. And we do know, Father, that if we serve you and stand for your truth, that we will be persecuted. And we should count that as a blessing. So in your name, Yahweh, we end this prayer, so be it. Hey, Martin.
Yeah.
You were talking about Billy Roper. Does he have anything going on right now?
No, what happens is that a card, if you have something to do with Billy Roper, I would advise not to. Billy Roper was big friends with Rick Spring until finally Rick Spring went ahead and admitted he was a federal informant. And then
a Zogbot, yeah.
A Zogbot. So then he was running around with, he was crapping all over Morris Gallet here when I was supporting Morris Gallet here and over, he was supporting Rick Spring. So then Morris Gallet decided that since he's off his probation here for plotting while drunk to rob banks, in Alabama for Bolivian nose candy, he's stupid crap. Yeah. What happens is that then he went ahead and he decided to just take his $10,000-$12,000 a year for the Rick Groom's trust fund. So he decided to just take his money and, stay, essentially enjoy his money.
Yeah.
So then Billy Roper and Paul Mullett. Paul Mullett's another criminal who didn't much care for Chris Sunday, didn't know a dang thing about it, knew less than Billy Roper did.
Yeah.
So then 2 years ago, Mullett has a heart attack because Zog gives him a hot load of
cocaine. Oh, I didn't know he had a heart attack. He had a heart attack?
He had a heart attack 2 years ago. And
I didn't know that.
Then another character, Phil and Booze, or Phil Morrow, I think he went back to prison, so he has a little bogus. His little bogus web page just went under. Let me see what the Pisser Possum is doing. Yeah, I'm looking to see what the Pisser Possum is doing here. Answer. Let me
is
see.
Jeremy Fisher on the radio? Is he on the radio on Talk Show? What's he doing?
I don't know. He ain't radio and Talk Show. I think he might be getting some money from the Pisser Possum here. You know what I mean? This is just whoremonger. Vandersall hates Dr. Wickster. Remember that here. I appreciate okay, today, Dan Johns and by Yahweh's Design, page 83. They're getting down on Dan Johns. Now, the Pisser Possum would tell me all about Dan Johns being a
okay. Such
an Ashkenazi with Crohn's.
Yeah.
Tell me about being an Ashkenazi with Crohn's. He was a serial wannabe polygamist here. I mean, Johnny Tonko Brigham was a lot more successful polygamist. So, I was like, you got some feedback.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think it's me. I hear some noise, but I don't know.
Okay.
Is that your end?
I don't know.
I haven't changed.
This character who was mistaken for Billy Roper at Charlottesville just committed suicide.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Andrew Dodson. So, he went there. Let me see. Right here. Alrighty, let me see. I'm looking here. Let me see. I'll go ahead and get a. I was looking. Arkansas Times. Let me see. Let me go ahead and copy it. But from my gather, the guy was stupid enough to have something to do with Billy Roper. Stupid enough to have something with Billy Roper here. Shit. You lose your job, you go to jail, or you get doxxed or something here. I mean, it's stupid to have something to do with Billy Roper. You know what I mean? You want to avoid Billy Roper if you have any sense.
I don't have nothing to do with any of these people. I mean, white nationalism. Most of them are atheists, and, a lot of them, like David Duke, they hate identity. Obviously, the reason they hate identity is because they got Jew friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, it's stupid to have anything to do with Billy Roper. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, I know. I agree.
I'm looking here. Let's see, post-ban removal request here. Okay. All right, well, I don't know. I guess they went ahead and removed me here, so I had to log out. Now I'm able to see Stormfront. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, Shield Wall meeting Saturday 5/19.
So, are they still? Hey, is Visser and John Britton and all these people? Are they still talking about you? Or I mean, they haven't.
Not so much. I think Tonto went back to work.
What about Visser and the pedo packages in England? Are they still harassing you?
I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen anything from them for a while. You know what I mean?
I mean, if the Pitcher Possum, did he fall off the wagon and go back to jail again or get on the meth or what?
No, the Pitcher Possum, well, what happens with the Pitcher Possum? Let me see. What happened with the Pitcher Possum is that he's talking crap about, Dan Johns or Warren Withers, Withers Slop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean... Warren Witherslop, he's an Ashkenazi Melungeon, and the Pisser Possum is a Sephardic Melungeon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm looking at... Montel Williams, Billy Roper endorsement. I mean, Billy Roper has about 6 cards, including Uncle Tom's Dog Pig. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's getting, oh, hell. I mean, Mickey Mouse, got more write-in votes than, Billy Roper did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let me see. All right. Okay. Yeah,
Are you still
running for office and anything? You still running for office?
Yeah, I'm running as a write-in candidate for that state senate. But what I need to do is I need to sue the state of Missouri and say, hey, look, these political parties, which do not allow open primaries, you know, why should they have primaries if they're not going to allow white nationalists to run in them? If you're not going to hold open primaries, why bother holding primary elections? Just go ahead and let the bosses decide who the hell it was. And then in the general election, just pretty well allow anybody who wants to, you know, let him have his name. You know, why do we need to have, quote, write-in candidates here? Why they ought to be able to form their own political parties and, you know, safely decide that here. And if they're not going to do that, if they're not going to go ahead and keep the agreement by which they became a state, maybe the state of Missouri safely disincorporated here, just like the city of Granby. I went down to eat, and I got told that these people said, we don't care, you know, we're not worried about having to, you know, pay any fines or something like that for now being Missouri Sunshine Act, because the city of Granby is going to have to pay for it all. You know what I mean? He's hurting the city of Granby. He's not hurting us. We do whatever the hell we want to. And that is their attitude. Hell, had a pig the second time I sued him here. Well, I said, why don't you just give me that public notice on the bulletin board? Why don't you just go ahead and give it to me here? You know, I'll give you a dime for it. You know, just make a copy. No, we ain't going to do that here. That's one hell of a thing to where, you know, you make me have to pay $95 and then I end up having to sue you. You know what I mean? You end up having to, you know, essentially undergo a jury trial for your crooked shit here. I mean, you know, wouldn't it just be easier just to give me the damn sheet of paper like you're supposed to right now? You know, I'll give you a dime for it. Essentially, just make a copy and we don't have to have this damn lawsuit. No. We get to do whatever we want. Yeah, you don't get to tell us what to do. You're trying to tell me what to do. You're trying to tell me when I can go ahead and go into City Hall to go ahead and go about public business, see what the hell you're up to. And you know, what I'm annoyed about is that they could have found out a month ago that, you know, essentially Rex Burnett's old laundry mat and grocery store, which is right next to City Hall, they could have bought that for $21,000, because the woman who bought it said, well, I ain't going to buy it till you guys know you're not going to go ahead and use it for a police station. And they went ahead and lied to people in Granby. And so the retards went ahead and believed they were going to get a brand new $1 million police station.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? If all that tax is going to put up per year in Granby is $24,500, let's say it's $25,000.
Yeah.
How long will it take to pay for $1 million police station? Answer, 40 years. Not counting interest. That ain't going to happen.
It ain't going to happen. All they're going to do is take out a loan, do whatever they want.
Pretty well. Everyone
put all the debt on the taxpayers.
They lied.
And then when they can't pay it, they'll file bankrupt.
They lied. They lied all along. They had no intention. You know, the pigs were telling the big story, oh, we need a new police station. You gave a brand new fire department. Well, guess what? Granby, I think, does need a fire department. I don't think they need a damn police station. You know what I mean? They don't need crooked thieving pigs essentially harassing people, you know, and essentially, enforcing the laws unevenly on behalf of the pigs here. You know, and besides, essentially the fire station, from my gather, they got it in the 1990s, and they paid, what, $90,000 or $120,000 for essentially a metal storage building, an overgrown metal storage building, you know, which was built up, and it got paid off, and now they're buying brush trucks. They're buying pickup trucks, 1, 2, 3, and 4, to hose down brush, which, you know, you have some in Granby, but not that damn much. It's just simply just to buy, you know, I mean, they're getting the money. They have to spend it for, you know, assets which last longer than 3 years. So essentially just buying brush trucks here for the East Newton Fire Protection District. You know what I mean? And the East Newton Fire Protection District got the water pumper truck. And essentially they stored it in Granby. And really, Granby should have bought the fucking pumper truck. And East Newton, if they wanted, brush pickup trucks here, they should have bought the fucking, they should have bought the damned pickup, essentially the brush trucks here with a little 300 gallons of water that they drive around with here. I mean, stupid crap. Stupid crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
at least with a fire station, you need to have 13-6, doors, and you need to have, essentially you need to store the fire truck inside for the winter, because if it freezes here, it'll mess up an expensive fire truck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, for a police station, that's so bad. Well, guess what? You could buy $400 with a barn tin. I'd help you nail the damn stuff up there if that's what you want to. But no, they don't want to do that. They want to waste Granby money. And what it was is just a kickback for sirens. They could have bought the place right next door to City Hall if they wanted a newer police station.
That's right.
And it came with a vacant lot. They could have gone ahead and dug in, used the backhoe and dug in a tornado shelter, made it out of, essentially added to it here if they wanted to, but they didn't want to do that.
Right.
They didn't want to spend $21,000. They wanted to go ahead and give the sirens $200,000 plus another $70,000.
Because they're not paying for it, Martin. They're going to bail the taxpayer. They're going to make the taxpayer pay.
Especially on a building which sells for $21,000, there's not much room for kickbacks and graft, is there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No,
that's
exactly what it is. Just nothing but stealing, just nothing but thievery and lawlessness and crookedness and all that sort of thing. But I'm annoyed the stupid people of Granby went ahead and went along with it. You know what I mean? You deserve to get screwed. You deserve to get screwed here. No wonder that people have a low opinion of Granby and a low opinion of people who are stupid enough to live in Granby. Granby, there's a reason why a building which is worth $100,000 in the Osho ain't worth $60,000 in Granby. It's not because of the land and not because of anything else, it's because of essentially thieves and criminals which, want to go ahead and get a tax and essentially suck out the life out of Granby. So what, Granby consists of some old people, who have no place else to go or don't want to go no place, and essentially the younger ones who are, essentially are dopers and meth heads and potheads and, want to have too much, efficient police here. And that's, and with a few others, that's what makes up Granby. And Granby is dead. Granby is the deadest town in Southwest Missouri for a good reason, for a very good reason. Because of the crookedness, for the past, 30, 40 years in Granby. So, anyway, while talking about the movement, I went ahead and, Dr. Greg Johnson went ahead for the first time ever, recently, he goes ahead and he shows his face. Now he'd been outed by Eunuch and a few other people that have been outed here, so that didn't make any sense for him not to go ahead and show his face here. And he actually did a pretty good speech here. You get to see him and I don't know. I believe it's something called...
I don't keep up with these people, Martin. I mean, I used to keep up with some of the identity people, but I don't keep up with white nationalism. I mean, the thing is,
the white race, the majority of the white race are gone. They're a bunch of cowards and race mixers and compromisers and Jew lovers. I mean, if you really wanted to start something like the skinheads or Klans, maybe 100 years ago, you might have had more racial pride, but now, I mean, you don't even have much of, if you want to start a hardcore identity group and go underground, you don't hardly have enough people to pick
that are quality people that you could build an organization with.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, I was just looking here. You really wouldn't have anything to do with some homosexual who's yapping to a bunch of Swedish, you know. I went ahead and listened to a panel discussion when I was...
Yeah.
Well, what I did is I got my lawnmower working again, and yesterday I mixed up some gasoline. You know them two-cycle motors here. They sound a lot like chainsaws. They're two-cycle engines here. So I got this here little Mantis weed eater, and what I did is I just simply took one of the raised bed gardens, and I planted four or five tomato, you know, early girl tomato plants, and I planted some old bell peppers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what happens, I planted that in a raised bed garden, and I was listening to Greggy, and I was listening to these, characters, Jared Thomas, who likes Jews, and all this sort of thing, and most of the stupid crap here. I mean, it's sort of like listening to two-headed cows talk about crap you don't agree with. You know what I mean? We ought to be nice. We ought to be nice to. I'm against genocide here. Well, Dr. Greg, are you actually going to go ahead and make white people feed and clothe and house hungry niggers? If you don't feed the damn niggers here, they will starve. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just a whole lot cheaper just to go ahead and gun a bunch of them down here, because they don't have any place to go. African niggers don't want American niggers. But, I don't have any hostility really against Dr. Greg. And the reason I don't is because, in the bowel movement, he's not eating any of my slop. You know what I mean? He's not eating any of my slop here out of my trough. You know what I mean? Clinton don't like him because he's running around Seattle. But I was listening to him, and he said that he can't afford even to live in Seattle no more. Well, it's expensive as hell to live in Seattle, from my gather. It's just gotten super expensive. So he's gonna go to Europe here, and he's gonna go to Europe here. You know, maybe Hungary or Romania or someplace where it's, Poland or whatever, where it's cheap to live. And fine by me. Fine by me.
Yeah.
I was going to say is that since we're so different here, since the alt-right has really imploded so badly,
Spencer? I mean, whatever happened to Dickie Spitz? He's still begging for money.
He ought to be, but he's begging for money, and essentially his mom, even his mom, he didn't have money. He didn't have $4.50. to pay for a whiskey here and, in his hometown of Whitefish, Montana. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
His credit card came back declined. And essentially, he's being lapped. He's not on Gab, but he's on Twitter. And, Sunday or Monday, Kyle Bristow went ahead and called me. You know what I mean? Fat Cock thought it wasn't him. I think it was because he was sneering about, me having a name like Dzerzhinsky. And I said, well, that's sort of an affectation. That's not really my real middle name. But he's a communist Jew. Well, okay. Well, he's a communist, yes. Jew, I don't know. But in any case, he certainly killed plenty of pigs here. But anyway, he admitted that Brian Reel was no longer his law clerk, and he went ahead and, at least that's what he said, and he admitted he knew that Brian Reel had, he knew that Brian Reel had 52 lawsuits in, Lake County, and I started getting back, said, do you know how many of these are essentially white small businesses? You know what I mean? Owned by family men?
Yeah.
And your part, you know, your little law clerk is running wild suing them here on bogus, you know, essentially on bogus shit just because he can, and, you know, he's your law clerk. And I went ahead, you know, I went ahead and recorded Dickie's bullshit here. Or, sorry, not, you know, I mean, Kyle Bristol's bullshit. And from what I gather, he's still hanging around, just like old nigger lips. He's hanging around the bowel movement somewhere. You know what I mean? Otherwise, why shouldn't he call here? So anyway, I'm gonna.
Hey, what is your show? Hey, what is your show tonight?
It'll probably be around 11 here, but I'll go ahead and I think we ought to go ahead and just end it because we've been going on for about, you know, a little bit over 2.5 hours. We've been on since 7:15, and it's what 10 minutes to 10.
Yeah,
so we've been going on for about. We've been going on for over, let's see, 7, 10, 8, 10, 9, 10. We've been going on for 2 hours and 40 minutes here, and that's long enough here. So, anyway, you're doing okay then?
Yeah, that's fine, and we'll pick it up in it back next Thursday, because Sunday we're going to have a special
We're going to have a Pentecost meeting. We're going to have a Pentecost service on the 20th. We might do it a little bit early because I want to at least do Pentecost services on Pentecost before the sun goes down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we might do it at 6 o'clock, you know, this channel. 6 o'clock Sunday. You know, just so
sounds great.
Just keep that in mind. So anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and call it a night. I'm gonna say hail victory, may Yahweh bless, and good
all
night.
Right. You too. Hail victory. Yep.
Hail victory. This is the Logan Hunter Show in Exile of 17th of May, 2018. It's about 10 minutes to 10 p.m., you know, Central Daylight Savings Time. Hail victory.